If you'd like to turn with me in your Bibles this morning to the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 16. The Gospel according to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26, towards the end of the chapter. Matthew 16 verse 26. Very well known words of Scripture, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And well, these words are the backdrop, the foundation for our subject this morning. The value of the soul, that is our subject, that will be our focus this morning. Not so much on what the soul is, we've spoken about that in previous services and messages, but the value of the soul, that is what is being explained to us in this particular verse, the value of the soul. Do we think about the soul enough? Well, the soul is downgraded in today's society, even to the point where people don't even believe in the soul anymore. And we'll consider these things, but we must think about the soul, the human soul. Well, it has been the focus of spiritual, religious, and philosophical debate for many centuries. The human soul, what is it? The mysterious nature of it. It has even been, in time past, the subject of science. Scientists have delved into the work of the soul, have tried to prove the existence of the soul. I was reading up the other day about one scientist, you may know about him, at the beginning of the last century, 1901, I believe it was, a man by the name of Dr. Duncan MacDougall. Now, he conducted a series of experiments to prove the existence of the soul. But he did it, well, really, it was in a very morbid way, a very morbid fashion, and I hope you don't mind me describing this to you this morning. But he conducted experiments on six dying patients, six people on the verge of death. And just before they died, just before they were about to die, he would place them on weights, on weight scales, just prior to their death. And well, he ran a series of experiments, their condition before death, their condition after death, and he noticed that when they died, they lost a certain amount of weight. And he concluded that the weight that they lost was 21 grams. On average, when we die, when each of us dies, we lose a weight of 21 grams. And that, he concluded, was the weight of the soul departing from the body. It has mass, 21 grams, and then when we die, we lose that mass. It goes to be with the Lord. That's what he concluded. But, well, we can't take anything very true from that. That speculation, that scientific experiment, we don't believe in the existence of a soul because of some scientific experiment like this. We believe in the soul because the Bible teaches us about the soul. Of course it does. Even from the very start of the Bible, we read and we learn that the Lord God breathed into man a living soul. It is the pinnacle of creation, really. The greatest thing in creation is the human soul. God, of course, created all things. We believe that. We believe he created the heavens, the sun, the moon, the stars, the sea and all that in them is, the land animals, the birds. Then he created man, made in the image of God, set apart from the rest of creation. And how was he set apart? Well, God breathed into him a living soul. A soul. A soul, well, the fundamental thing we need to know about the soul and that which sets us apart from the rest of creation is that the soul fits man for spiritual life. Unlike the rest of creation, The rest of creation cannot commune with God, cannot know God, cannot walk with God in the way that man can. Man has a living soul. That is what sets us apart. And that is why it is the greatest thing in creation. You think of creation, where you think of the sun, how tremendous the sun is. Maybe you think that's the greatest thing in creation. The sun in its vastness, its power, its energy, its life-giving beams to the world. Maybe you think that is the greatest thing in creation. It's not. The sun cannot commune with God. The sun cannot pray to God and know that God is hearing and answering him. The sun cannot know the love of God in its heart. It doesn't have a heart, doesn't have a soul. We do. And so the human soul is greater than even the sun. It is the pinnacle of God's creation. Do you think about that? What you have in you is the greatest thing in creation, the human soul. We must think upon these things, dear friends. But it's such a tragedy nowadays that some people don't believe that we have souls. I've spoken to some people during witnessing and evangelism. They don't believe that we have souls at all. Some people, well, modern science has promoted this. They say that the soul is really just the brain. It's just your mind, just your brain. Everything that we can know about the soul, or the so-called soul, can be learned by studying the brain. Brain matter. Neuroscience is what you need to know about the soul. You don't need religion. You don't need spirituality. You just need science, neuroscience. Because the soul really is just the brain. But that is so sad. This is part of science's war against Christianity. Well, there are many good things that come out of science, many worthy things, things that benefit mankind, and many Christians have been great scientists, so we don't dismiss science at all. But you know that science is at war with God? Of course it is. Not just about the soul. You think about its war on creation. Science is so geared up to make everybody think that God did not create the world. Why is that? Well, if we make people forget that God created the world, or don't think that he created the world, well, then we can dismiss God altogether. So we can work in science to push God out completely. Let's just say that the world created itself or evolved, so then we don't have to believe in God at all. There is no God. And it's the same with the soul. Let's try and pretend that the soul doesn't exist, so that even if there is a God, well, we can't know him. We can't commune with him. We don't have souls. So creation, there is no God. And, we dismiss the existence of the soul so that if there is a God, nobody can know him, because we don't have any souls at all. Science is at war with God. But, well, this has made so many people so miserable, I believe. This pervading opinion that we don't have souls has made people so miserable in this life. Because, well, really, if you boil it down to its most basic element, what are we? We don't have souls, we're just brains. We're just biological creatures. We're just chemical processes. There's nothing more mysterious or spiritual about that. We're just chemicals. Your loves, your passions, your hobbies, your opinions, they're nothing. They're just chemicals going around in your brain. There is no soul. That's what people would have you think. Well, if you think like that, well, what is the meaning of life? If we're just muscle and tissue, brain matter, what is the meaning of life? You're just biology. There is no deeper meaning. And that is so desperately sad. No wonder so many people are so depressed. No wonder so many people lose out on the meaning of life. They don't have any meaning in their life, because according to science, there's no God, there's no soul, you're just a brain, you're just biology. There is no meaning. And that is such a sad thing, but we affirm the existence of a soul, dear friends, in this church. And well, of course, the Bible explains these things very clearly to us. But well, I hope there's nobody in here who believes that we don't have a soul. If there is, well, anybody who believes that they don't have a soul, well, actually, in a sense, you're right. People who don't know God, and therefore maybe think that they don't have a soul, well, in a sense, they don't have a soul. At least not a functioning soul. They don't have a functioning soul. Your soul, the scripture explains, it's knocked out. It's as good as dead if you don't know God. It's not functioning. It's like, for example, you know, when you put maybe your phone or your laptop on sleep mode, you put your laptop on sleep mode. Well, it's still on, but you can't do anything with it. You can see that it's on. You can see the little light that tells you it's on standby or on sleep. But you can't do anything with it. You can't work any programs. You can't go on the internet. It's on, but it's not functioning at all. Well, that is like your soul without God. It's there, you have it, but it's not functioning at all. It's knocked out. It's dead. It's useless. That is what a soul is like without God. And that is such a sad thing for us. But well, we live in this society, this soulless society that promotes these things. One of the things that goes when your soul is knocked out is your conscience is deadened. That is a great faculty of the soul, your conscience. You know what is right and what is wrong. When your soul is alive, when you're in tune with the Word of God, when you know God, you know what is right and what is wrong. God shows you these things. But if you're in this type of society that doesn't believe in the soul, your conscience is deadened. You don't know what is right or what is wrong anymore. And we see this very much in our society. People are so confused. They don't know what is right, what is wrong. We have a conscience. And well, the Bible says that the law of God is written upon our conscience. So when we do something wrong, our conscience cries out, "That's wrong." The conscience that God has given to us, it cries out, and we know that that thing is wrong. But we can silence our conscience, we can shout it down, and we live in a society that is constantly shouting down our conscience. Have you noticed this? We see so many things in our society, so many things that our society promotes, and within ourselves, our consciences say, "That is wrong. That is wrong." But well, this society, then somebody on the media comes on to the TV and says, "Oh, it's not wrong. Oh no, we live in a liberated age. It's 2016 now, don't you know? So these things are right now. We're not living in an old-fashioned age." And so he tries to justify it, and our consciences are quietened down. This is what the media does nowadays. Our consciences see what's going on, they're troubled, and the media comes on and just shouts down our conscience. "Oh no, it's all right. All this thing that you're seeing, it's all fine now." That's almost why the media exists nowadays, to silence our conscience. Everything is all right. That's all we hear from the media. Don't worry about your conscience. Don't worry about your soul. Deaden the soul. Keep the soul dead. That's what the media is doing to you, dear friends. Telling you everything's all right when your conscience is telling you that it's not. And we have to be aware of these things. We have to look to the Word of God for that which is right and wrong. There is a tremendous scripture. In fact, we have a railway poster that promotes this church or advertises this church. And the scripture on it is, "Hear and your soul shall live." You hear the Word of God, and that is how your soul lives. Not through the media, not through anything else. "Hear and your soul shall live." So look at this word and let your soul live, dear friends. Your soul is being butchered by this present culture and the media of this world. But let's look at this verse 26. And I've neglected it quite a lot this morning. "For what is a man profited," the Lord Jesus Christ says, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul. Well, these are tremendous words. What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Well, it's very true, isn't it? That the more people get of this world, the more lost their soul becomes. It's very true. And you don't really need me to preach very much about this. We all know cases of film stars, pop stars. They rise to stardom. They sell so many records. Everybody loves them. It's like they've gained the whole world. And then what do you hear about them? Oh, they're depressed. They're in rehab. They're struggling with this. They're struggling with that. They're suicidal, some of them. They've gained the whole world. And yet their soul, obviously, is lost without God. I remember one quote, and I'm sure I've shared this with you before. There was one author, a great novelist. His book sold millions. He became a multimillionaire. And one interviewer went up to him and said, "Oh, what do you wish somebody had told you when you first started out? Now that you've hit the big time, what do you wish somebody had told you when you first started out?" And this novelist said to him, "Well, I wish somebody had told me that when you get to the top, there's nothing there." That's what he wished somebody had told him. When you get to the top, when you gain the whole world, there's absolutely nothing there. Nothing for the soul at all. And where we all know, of course, about, rulers of countries, dictators, governors, the more they get of power, the more corrupt they become, the more unkind, greedy, covetous, proud they become. The more we gain of the world, the more lost our souls become. But well, even on a smaller scale than that, and I don't want to say anything bad about this community, but you know, we go from door to door, knocking on doors, and some families are very affluent. And well, even they, when we try and explain to them the things of God, well, they're so affluent, they don't want to know. It's like they have the world. I have a house, I have a car, I have a career, I have wealth. And because they have gained these things, they're so against the things of God. They're hardened against the things of God. Well, you don't need to be a ruler. You don't need to be a pop star. Well, all of us are prone to these things, going after the world and being hardened against God, to the detriment of our own souls. But well, if we're like that, ultimately it will be worthless. It will be worthless for us. Look at these words. What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The great contrast that's being presented here is one is short term, the world, and the other is long term, the soul. The soul is eternal. The world is not this world in which we live in. The world is short term. And well, what are you going to choose? Short term or long term? It's a no-brainer, really, isn't it? If you believe all you have is a brain, well, it's a no-brainer. Short term or long term? The world or your soul? Your eternal future? Are you thinking about your eternal future? One day we have to stand before God. Of course we have to. And well, when we stand before God, he will see your rebellion against him. He will see, maybe, one of us here. He will see that you kept coming into the house of God, hearing the word of God, but within yourself there was rebellion, and you did not want to give yourself to God. He will see all of these things. He will see your rebellion and your sin. And well, if you don't want God in this world, if you don't want God in the short term, you won't have God in the long term. Don't think you can live for this world now, and then when you stand before God, oh, God will accept me. No, you've made your choice. And God will see your rebellion. And well, your soul will be cast out into eternal loss, into a place which is a forsaken place, unless, as this verse tells us, we can give something in exchange for our souls. For what is a man profited, verse 26, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What can you give in exchange for your soul when you stand before God? Can you give what you have in this world? Your wealth, your cars, your home, your career? No, of course not. You can't give that to a holy, eternal God. You might say to yourself, oh, but I've done good things. I've done good works, many things that are pleasing, perhaps, to the Lord, to God. Well, God can see all the bad things that you've done. He can see all the sins that you've done. And your sins are far greater than all your good things. So that's not going to buy you out. You can't give your good works in exchange for your soul. The only exchange you can give for your soul, well, it's something that God gives us. And that's faith. Faith. Faith in what? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that you can give in exchange for your soul. Faith in the Lord Jesus, the one, the Son of God, who came down from heaven, went to the cross. What happened on the cross? There was a great exchange, a great substitution, as it were. He took the punishment for our sins. We swapped places with him. We deserved to go to the cross. But Christ went instead of us in our place so that we may be forgiven, so that we may go to heaven, while Christ takes the punishment for our sin, the great exchange for our souls. That's what happened at the cross of Calvary. That's the only exchange that you can give. Oh, your soul is so precious. Do you know how your precious soul is so dear to God? Your soul is so precious to God that he sent his only Son to suffer and to die. His Son, his death, was the only thing precious enough to save your soul. His shed blood, his blood is precious enough to save your soul. So we must have faith in that blood, in what Christ has done. It's the only thing you can give in exchange. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? God has given us that way of salvation, Christ and his precious blood for us. Oh, we must put our faith in him. We must, so that you may have eternal life, be forever with God. Why would you be forsaken on that day, when you can simply trust in the Lord Jesus and be with God forever? Well, these are the words, for what is a man profited, the Lord Jesus Christ says. The Son of God himself speaks this to us. If he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? If there are anybody here who does not know the Lord, never known him, never walked with him, well, how long are you going to neglect the soul? How long are you going to keep it on standby, as it were, not functioning at all? Please don't leave here and think nothing of your soul. You wouldn't leave here and think nothing of your body. You wouldn't leave here and go to yourself, oh, well, I'm not going to eat, I'm not going to drink for months, years even. I'm just going to let my body rot until it dies. You wouldn't say that of your body. But why would you say that of your soul? Why would you say that of your soul? The most precious thing about you. Because it will rot, it will die, if you don't come to Christ. Come to Christ and know him, that your soul may live and that you may be saved. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our God, our gracious Heavenly Father, O Lord, forgive us all our sin. Lord, speak to our hearts, to our souls, dear Lord. that we may truly know life, life in all its joy, in all its abundance, that we may know the forgiveness of all our sin, that we may know that when we stand before thee on that last day, there will be an exchange for us because we have faith in Christ Jesus. O Lord, bless us all with that saving faith. We ask it all in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.